comes from some other beginning's end.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now. Rest in peace, Melanie, the singer-songwriter, passed away on January 23rd, just before her 77th birthday on February 3rd. That was her first hit, Lay Down, Candles in the Rain, inspired by her performance at the original Woodstock Festival in 1969, where it started to rain as she took the stage and people in the crowd started lighting candles. She was one of only two women to perform unaccompanied at Woodstock. Joan Baez was the other and one of only seven women to play. We also heard new music from Australian artist Grace Cummings, such a singular voice. So excited about the new album coming on April 5th called Ramona. And we heard the first single, On and On. Welcome to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, our featured guest is Clementine Creevy of the band Cherry Glazer, and that's coming up in the second part of the show. Right now, getting into this one from upcoming She Rose guest Maddie Diaz. Her new album, Weird Faith, is coming out on February the 9th. This is Everything Almost.
Is there something I can say I know? Or is this me being painfully, eternally hopeful? Oh God, you have no idea what you're doing, but I do. On the 9th of May, I wrote it down. I found the journal. Some things just for me. Is it okay if we
Shiro's alum Amy Mann on Shiro's Radio. That's Just What You Are turns 30 this year, originally released in 1994 as a single from the soundtrack to the TV series Melrose Place. Remember Melrose Place? Then it appeared as part of her second solo album, I'm With Stupid, the following year. We also heard a new one from Maddie Diaz, who will be with us in just a couple of weeks as a featured guest. Her new album, Weird Faith, is coming February the 9th. And we heard the latest single, Everything Almost. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us for this week's Shiro's Conversation with Clementine Creevy of Cherry Glazer. That's coming up next.
Commercial radio is full of endless obnoxious ads. On public radio, your support replaces them. Subscribe today and keep the SoCal Sound all about the music at thesocalsound.org.
Here's a home run of a lineup. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Hozier, Jimmy Eat World, Young the Giant, Third Eye Blind, and more. Innings Fest 2024 is back in Tempe, Arizona. And one lucky SoCal Sound member will get a grand slam of a grand prize. Hotel, airfare, and two tickets to Innings Fest. Here's the pitch. To enter the sweepstakes, all we ask is you step up to the plate. And in honor of the 2024 MLB season, donate $24 to the SoCal Sound. Each $24 donated is another chance to score this sweepstakes. Don't strike out. Donate now to be eligible to see these legendary acts, plus a few current and former Major League Baseball players. Baseball and music, a pitch-perfect combo. The Innings Fest Flyaway Sweepstakes. More details at thesocalsound.org.
Innings Fest is made possible by our partners at Columbia Records. Support comes from Amoeba Music in Hollywood. Coming up, Amoeba Music in Hollywood hosts two all-ages shows with no tickets nor registration required. First with Austin, Texas-based psychedelic soul band Black Pumas on February 7th at 5:30 p.m. And on February 8th at 5 p.m., Tibetan singer-songwriter Yongchen Lamo. Full information on the artists and events can be found at amoeba.com.
No annoying ads. Ever. Listener-powered, member-supported public radio. The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. How many successful bands can you name that started in high school and can say that they've been around for a decade? And what fraction of those bands were founded by young women? Well, I don't know the exact statistic. My guess is not many. So I'm going to take a leap and say that today's guest is a bit of a unicorn, but it was grit, not magic, plus determination and a whole lot of talent that brought her where she is today. At just 15, Los Angeles singer, songwriter, and guitarist Clementine Creevy uploaded songs to SoundCloud, which got the attention of a record label. That was in 2012. In 2013, she started her band, Cherry Glazer, and they released their debut album, Haxel Princess, in 2014. By their follow-up, 2017's Apocalypstic, Cherry Glazer was signed to the iconic indie label Secretly Canadian, and in the year that followed, they began gaining critical acclaim, touring internationally and playing major festivals. 2019 saw the release of their third album, the likewise critically hailed Stuffed and Ready. When the pandemic brought everything to a standstill, it gave Clementine Creevy the first opportunity since she was a teenager to slow down and reflect. The songs that were born of that period of time became Cherry Glazer's fourth album, I Don't Want You Anymore, which sees Clementine taking more control than ever before over the recording process. She wrote, co-produced, and arranged the whole album with the help of a few hand-picked, trusted collaborators. And now in her late 20s, she is taking ownership of her work in a way she hasn't quite done before. With Cherry Glazer's 2024 tour kicking off at the end of this month, we're thrilled to welcome Clementine Creevy as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Clementine Creevy, welcome to Shiro's. Great to
Hi,
see you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on I Don't Want You Anymore, which has been out for a minute. How's everything going so far?
It's been good. I'm already working on the next one.
Of course you are.
I'm really excited that it's out, but it just gets me more excited to keep making more music, because it's like once you see it out there and it feels more real and tangible and you've shared it, you have a better sense of like what it looks like, because it's being like perceived and you're not the only one perceiving it. And yeah, that just helps me like wrap my head around it all together. And I'm like, okay, now I really feel it. I know it and I'm ready to build on it.
When you get all the press and you start reading articles, everyone likes to talk about the first album in 4 years, which that's actually not that long.
Yeah, but I didn't even really realize it had been 4 years. And I also don't feel like that's that long.
It's not, especially when you think about the release, the touring schedule, the promotional schedule that comes before the touring schedule. Like that's a 2 year cycle on its own. And then you need to have time to recover. And I don't know what people think. Why did we come up with this arbitrary, like you have to put out a record every couple of years number? I'm not really sure where that came from.
Yeah. I don't know. The industry is really f***ed up.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. I love talking about how fucked up the industry is. But before we go down the tubes, one thing that I really love about talking to artists past when the album comes out rather than ahead of when the album comes out is that you've also had some time to sit with it, sit with the response. It sounds like you've already moved on even. But any parting thoughts as you wave bye-bye already to I Don't Want You Anymore?
Oh, I love that record. I'm so happy that it got to come out and that I got to make it. I just feel so lucky and so blessed to be an artist and that I'm able to survive off of that. I mean, I've been doing it for 10 years now. I had no idea that anyone would ever listen to my music. I didn't know it would be my whole life the way it is, but
yeah.
I would say that I got into the music industry at a good time because it was kind of before TikTok and like it was a little bit easier and a little bit smaller to navigate. Yeah, that was like 2013. 2014 and like we were playing like Camp Flogna and stuff and like FYF and Pitchfork and all those festivals, you know, we were getting some hype and I was discovered on SoundCloud, which I think is very like 2013. Like, I don't know, but I love this record and I just feel so lucky to be an artist and every day I'm getting to experience things that I can put into my art and like my whole life is centered around it and dedicated to it. And I love having that sort of purpose in my life because it gives me an outlet for me to like really express how I am feeling and how I am interpreting the world and myself. And the last record was really raw and me doing that a lot. I mean, all my records really are, but this one was definitely a little bit more serious and personal, I guess.
Didn't this band have its origins when you were still a teenager?
Like, yeah, I'm 26 and yeah. Most people think I'm like in my 30s because we've been around for so long. But yeah, I started the band when I was 15 and then demoed music and put it out on SoundCloud. And then when it started blowing up, I wanted to put a band together because it started out as just like me recording with two of my friends. But they were older than me and they couldn't be in like band full time. So I put a band together and that's kind of how Cherry Glazer was formed. And then those people left and I continued it. I was always a bit of a control freak with the band. Like I was like, this is my thing. And I know that probably sounds like bitchy or whatever, but it's more just that I had this creative vision and I wanted it to be something very specific. I had an idea for it. But the people who have been in my band have always been into that. And they're like, yeah, we know it's your band. We're down to play. So that's cool and perfect for me. And I've always known that I've kind of wanted it to be all in my control. But also, I love bands and I love the vibe of them and I love camaraderie and community. So my projects, even though I am the sole writer and always have been, they're also very collaborative, loving units where everyone is respected as like an equal.
We have Clementine Creevy here with us. The new Cherry Glazer album is I Don't Want You Anymore. How about we play a track from the album? What do you want to start with today?
Maybe the title track. This was actually the very first one that I ever recorded with Eve for the album. And I went to his studio in Hollywood. We demoed this one out. And that was kind of the moment where we knew that we wanted to make the record together. And it all started with this synth that I have. It's like a Korg Poly 6 synth. It's like a vintage synth. Something about it is just so magical and inspiring. And like, I don't know, sometimes a piece of gear is like the start of a song. So I give this one up to the Korg.
What do I even think? Fall backwards with me. Where to fall in? Yeah.
I Don't Want You Anymore is the title track to the new Cherry Glazer album. We have Clementine Creevy here with us on Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt, and we were talking about how that song was inspired by the gear. This is a perfect segue for us to talk about production. You're clearly somebody that knows her gear, knows a thing or two about production, is comfortable talking about that, and even have songs that are inspired by instruments and gear. And I know that you co-produced this record. Could you talk to us a little bit about taking that role on for I Don't Want You Anymore and what production means to you, especially in terms of being a woman doing this job?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do the album with Eve because the first session I did with him when we were doing I Don't Want You Anymore, I was just like, this guy is awesome. He is like the perfect person to collaborate with. So it was really easy to produce alongside him. I never felt like he was pushing against my ideas for no reason because he wanted to be the one whose idea it was, which is so common. And honestly, I get it. We all have an ego. Sometimes I do that. Like, it's very real. But I just felt like he was so cool and listened to all of my ideas and like respected me as a person. So it was just easy to collaborate with him. And on top of that, like, he has amazing ideas. Like, he produced it, you know. I had a lot of ideas mostly for arrangements. That was where my production ideas came in. He was very much like the tones guy, the sounds guy. Like, he's so good at that. And I love his taste. And that's why I wanted to work with him. And so I was like, hell yeah, King. Like, that's all you. You're killing it. And he also helped with a lot of arrangements of the songs and of the music. But I did a lot of that for the first time. And I was excited to explore that because, you know, this is my fourth album, so I've just had a lot of experience and I've learned from a lot of great producers, like my old bandmate. He taught me so much. My old drummer, he taught me a lot of language and like a lot of patience. That was something that he really helped me with and how to collaborate well. And then working with Carlos De La Garza on my last two albums, he was also an awesome producer who helped me, sort of taught me how to do this. And so I took a lot of what I learned from the producers in my past and have applied it to myself. And so I was excited that Eve let me run wild with a lot of the mechanisms of that and like being a producer, because I would love to continue doing it. It rocks.
Is there a song on this record that you're really proud of from a production standpoint?
Wow. They all took on a really great life. I really love the way we did Bad Habit. That song went through a lot of different iterations. Like, it was like real bass, and then we did bass synth, and then we went back to real bass, and then we did bass synth again, and then we had guitars, we scrapped those, we put them back, we scrapped them again. Like, it just went through so much. Like, there are like 1 million demos of that song. Sometimes you do a song and it's like, boom, it's done. And then sometimes you have a song and it has to just go through like a million different versions until you land on it. I don't think that necessarily means that it's not as strong of a song, because I feel like when I say that out loud, I'm like, oh, well, the one that you just spit out is automatically better. I don't really think so. I think sometimes you just get really playful with the production and it's just open for that. And so Bad Habit was definitely one of those. We had this guy Joe come in and like play all these rad vintage synths, and when he laid that down, we were like, that is so weird. We have to keep that. Like, all of those like sounds in the beginning where it's like, I don't know, just really hot, tapey sounding synths that are like, you're like, okay, that's crazy and not at all what we thought the song would be. But we ended up liking it and saving it, and it became like a real identity of part of the song.
I'm in a Wi-Fi, don't take back your love. Bad habits.
That's Bad Habit, track two on the new Jerry Glazer album, I Don't Want You Anymore. We have Clementine Creevy with us on Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. And we were talking about production and working with Eve Rothman. And we also earlier were talking about basically your bio and how you started. And you started when you were 15 years old, not intentionally, but started your first band. Yeah. You started on guitar, right?
Yeah. I started when I was 11.
So on Shiro's, I've talked a lot to artists about what their first instruments were, especially when it comes to certain instruments. There's less so now, but there's still a little bit of gender assignment. I was wondering about your experience with that. Have you ever had any feelings about being a girl with a guitar and now a woman with a guitar? What was that experience like for you? Positive, negative, neutral?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's complicated, I guess. I definitely started the band because I was like, oh, well, I can do this as well as all the guys that I'm seeing do this, and I can do it even better. And I know that I have like the skill set, and I'm like excited to show people that girls can do shit just as well as boys can. So that was definitely something that was always in the back of my head when I was starting the project. But for the most part, I didn't really think about it. Like, I don't think people want to only listen to boys all the time. I mean, I think lots of people need music made by non-men. Everyone just needs that flavor. I mean, I think that there's a demand for it. I don't know, maybe that's like wishful thinking, I guess, but I just think that that's true for human beings. Everyone needs art that's made by lots of different types of people. So I just have sort of a zen about it. Like, I try not to think about it too much. Sometimes I do feel a little bit relegated to like girl music. To have to exist as anything can be weird and like embarrassing sometimes. And you just want like your work to exist. Like, I kind of had a moment in time where I really wanted people to think that boys wrote and produced all of my stuff so that it would get more notoriety and popularity. Like, I really wanted people to think that I was being puppeteered by a man, because then I thought I would get more sales, I would get more streaming, I would get people just hearing it for what it is. And then I was just like, oh, whatever, don't play into the machine. Don't play into the man. Like, just be honest about how you're a control freak and do everything yourself, basically. So I've kind of switched sides a little bit. But yeah, I guess it is a problem sometimes. But
so wait, when did you have that idea? And then when did you switch or let it go?
I guess kind of recently I switched. I don't know. I got so excited about the record and I couldn't help but talk honestly about it. And then I guess the truth like slipped out. And then I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just roll with it. Like, if people hate women so much that it'll really like change their minds about it, then, you know, them anyways.
Wait, so you're saying that this switch just happened on this album?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess, sort of.
Whoa, dude. That's huge, though. So what's the truth? Can you articulate or expand on that? Like, what is the truth that we're finding out? That you're not being controlled by men? That yeah. You're doing everything yourself?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, of course I have so much help, and my team is amazing, and I love my bandmates, and they work so hard alongside me, and I'm mm-hmm. so grateful for them every day. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess like I write all the music and I pick the producers and I produce it, and my manager Katie and I, we get into the nitty gritty and do all the detail behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, which I feel like most people probably just would know already, but I got excited about the idea of someone thinking that like a man was controlling me, because I was like, oh, okay, well, this might be good for my sales. And then wow. I was like, oh, whatever, like, I don't really care about that stuff anyways. But yeah, I mean, you can have a complicated relationship with yourself sometimes in that way. For sure. Sometimes I just get very defeated by patriarchy. Like, I just am kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say it is what it is, but it exists. And sometimes I get so defeated by it that I just am like, I'll just play along in the system, you know, so I can get mine. And then most of the time, I don't feel that way. Most of the time, I'm just like, you know what? Get the patriarchy. I'm going to live my life and like not worry about it and just stand up for what's right and live that way.
Yeah. And I was thinking about your story and like when you're a teenager and you don't have any of that experience of the music industry. And we started off this conversation saying like, let's talk about how f***ed up the music industry is. I'm so game for that. But of course, I'm focusing on this one part of what's up about it, patriarchy, and that cis white dudes for the most part still run the show.
Yeah.
But when you're like young and innocent, you're just starting out, you don't have that awareness. And then you get into it and then capitalism and the patriarchy start to find their way to you. And there's like usually some sort of a disillusionment and then trying to figure out whether you can actually like navigate it and stay in the game or not.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, you have to find a sort of like zen with it. I think the patriarchy affects everyone.
True.
It affects people of different classes too. Yes. Classism is so real in the industry, it feels like.
Totally. Racism.
Yeah, and racism and yeah, just people like relegating people to one thing based on stuff other than their music solely. Yeah, I guess that's true for everything in the world. I don't know. I just try to do the best I can to stand up for people and always be teachable and always be open-minded and just treat people equally.
Yes.
But yeah.
It's been so awesome to have you here, Clem. I do an exercise at the end of every episode where I invite my guests to make a magic wand wish. And this harkens back full circle to the beginning of our conversation today, talking about how f***ed up the music industry is. So here's your moment to make a magic wand wish for women, for genderqueer folks, for non-binary folks in the music industry. If you had the wand in your hand, wave of the wand, what would you change?
Yes, definitely. I would make it so that everyone just exists purely as an energy and that for a whole year, we could just exist as little energies and be received at face value for that so that our work could shine through. I don't know though, because also I think people's life and history is really cool too. So I don't know what my wish would be. I guess my wish would be world peace, love, and for everybody to get free donuts whenever they want.
Great wish. Love it. Thank you. Nobody's ever made a wish that had to do with food. So I appreciate you. That seems like a perfect segue into sugar.
Cool.
You did wish for donuts.
I wished for donuts. I'm sorry. I don't know. That's what's important.
It's so great. So is it okay that we play Sugar as our last song today?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Anything you want to tell us about Sugar?
Sugar?
The song, I mean.
Yeah. I really love this one. I started this with Johnny from the drums. He had that really cool bass line. We were working together with Susie Shin, who's a really cool producer. And we went to her house and started this track. And when he played me the bass line, I was just like, I love it so much. Like, I've got to work on this. So, yeah, shout out to Johnny and Susie for starting writing this song with me. I love them. And the music video is one of my favorite music videos we've ever done. It was directed by my friend Gabe, starring Emily, who is a really cool stripper. And she works at Jumbo's. And I know her through some friends. And so I really wanted her to be the star because she is an amazing dancer. And I tried working the pole after, and it was so hard. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. Like, I'll just hop on the pole. And it was not easy at all. So shout out to all pole dancers. That is just such an amazing thing to be able to do. And so hard and so cool. And I love that.
You make me wanna crawl away. I'm so ashamed I'm not this way. Bottle up yesterday, but I think it matters anyway.
my luck, break my heart, I don't care. Fortune told me that no one's there. I'm buried deep.
With thanks to Clementine Creevy, thank you for being on Shiro's. Congratulations on I Don't Want You Anymore.
Thank you so much.
Many thanks to Clementine Creevy for being with us. The fourth Cherry Glazer album, I Don't Want You Anymore, is out now on Secretly Canadian. Catch Cherry Glazer out on tour starting on February 26th. Today's conversation was condensed and edited for broadcast. To hear the full version, download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast, distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Next, we close the hour with a new track from next week's guest, Brittany Howard, when Shiro's Radio continues.
Fiercely independent public radio. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. I am beyond excited for the new Brittany Howard album, What Now? It's coming out on February the 9th, and she is going to be our guest on next week's show, so don't miss that. Here is Red Flags. 1973 self-titled debut, Bette Davis, and the track, If I'm in Luck, I Might Get Picked Up. Also, Brittany Howard with Red Flags, and be sure to join us next week for a conversation with Brittany as we celebrate the release of her new album, What Now, on February the 9th. And that does it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, featuring full versions of our interviews, distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. And keep in touch. You can call us 833-MY-SHERO. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at